The scripture reading this morning is coming from the book of 1 Peter. It's chapter 3, verse 15. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And it reads, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear."
So thankful to be here this morning. Thankful for the Lord allowing us to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. We hope, pray, and trust that all is well. We're making good decisions. We're striving to do that which is right before the Lord and going out seeking and saving the lost to the best of our ability. So blessed to have been with some great brethren on yesterday in Austin. And I was telling Brother Dennis today, this morning, that I was listening to a brother, Brother Rob Whitaker, a great man of God, one who trusts the Lord, one who's striving to do that which is right. And he just had some very great things to say on yesterday, which I truly believe was truly a blessing in my life. I do want to say, Jaden, make sure that monitor is on right there, okay? Because that one's not on. This one is, but I need to see what I'm looking at. And so as I was thinking about that, it caused me to really be thankful to the God of heaven who allows us to come before him to strive to do that which is right. And when we stop and we think about what God wants from us, he wants us to live the right life. He wants us to go out and seek and save the lost. He wants us to be a great example to those who are outside of Christ. And when we are that example, then we can truly do that which is right before the God of heaven. I do want to say also that as the people of God here, we're thankful for you being here. We definitely want to keep those who are in need of our prayers in our prayers because they need to remain in our prayers. But more than that, we need to give them a call. We need to give them a call and let them know that we're thinking about them. And as we are thinking about them, they will know that we love them truly. When we consider the Church of Christ, we've been talking about this all month long. And we want to know from the onset that there is no apology of being members of the Lord's church. There's no apology in that. And when we think about that, friends, that ought to help us as the people of God to know that we're striving to do that which is right before God at all cost. And so let's see what we got here. Good. In 1 Peter 3 and verse number 15, here Peter says something that's very important for us to keep in mind. 1 Peter 3 and verse number 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear." When we stop and we consider, why are we members of the Church of Christ? Have you asked yourself that question lately? Have you asked yourself, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? Do you believe that the Lord's church is just like any denomination? I do want to say from the onset that things that we may say may come across a little bit on the offensive side, but it's only offensive when we're not heeding to the word of God. And so I'm going to say the things that we need to say on this morning, of course, in the most calmest way as possible. However, they are still true. Why the Church of Christ? Why the Church of Christ? Why not denominationalism? Why not Eastern religions? Friends, when we consider the Church of Christ, number one, we want to talk about the church's headquarters. The headquarters for the Church of Christ, if we're going to be ready to give an answer, if we're going to keep in mind that we need to be teaching our children the why we're members of the Lord's church. Friends, we have to keep in mind that the Lord's church has headquarters, and their headquarters, its headquarters, is in heaven. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, open your Bibles, let's study together. And as we're studying together, let us allow the word of God to prove for itself. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, God, who at sundry times or various times in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, friends, we are in the last days now. We've been in the last days since Acts chapter 2. Not like some of the false teachers who say that we're in the last days because of 2,000 years removed from the cross. No, we've been in the last days since Acts chapter 2 when Peter and the rest of the apostles were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Christ and him crucified, half in these last days, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the ages, the worlds, the time frames, if you will. The ages there is talking about the different systems of time. And what we mean by that is the patriarchal system where God spoke to the fathers. And the fathers had the responsibility of speaking to the families. The Mosaic system in which God spoke to Moses and Moses spoke to the children of Israel. And then the Christian dispensation in which we're under today, where Christ is speaking through his Son, John 12, 47 to verse number 50. The ages. He's not talking about the cosmos. He's not talking about the earth, the world, if you will, that we live upon. No, friends, he's talking about the different ages. God made those. But notice what he says. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Here, Jesus is the very character of God himself. John 1 verse 18. John 1 verse 1 through verse 14. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Watch this. When he had by himself purged our sins, put Romans Revelation 1 verse 5 right there, sat down at the right hand of the majesty of high, on high, having become so much better than the angels. Where is Jesus sitting? The headquarters for the church of Christ is in heaven. That's where the headquarters are. Ephesians 1 and verse number 20. The headquarters for the Lord's church is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, prophesied in this book of Psalm 110, verses 1 through verse number 5, with verse 5 being the emphasis. Friends, God left us the blueprint of the headquarters of his church, the church of Christ. And so when we stop and we consider some of the headquarters, we're not trying to be offensive, but these are the facts. The facts of the Catholic Church. The headquarters of the Catholic Church is in Rome, Italy. That's the headquarters. That's where the headquarters are. As a matter of fact, they even call the Pope Father. Matthew 23 and verse number 7, there the Bible communicates to us by the very mouth of Jesus himself, call no man father upon the earth. Call no man rabbi. And we have denominationalism calling their religious leaders rabbi. Friends, how do you read something so clear and still call a man on the earth father? The Pope is the vicar, V-I-C-A-R, on earth. He is the head of the church on earth. And Peter is supposedly the first pope. Yet in Acts chapter 10 and 11, when Peter receives a vision, and that vision was the Gentiles was going to be accepted into the fold of the church. And Peter, as he walks into the house of Cornelius, you remember Cornelius bows down before Peter. And Peter says, get up, for I too am a man as thee. If Peter was the first pope, then he should have accepted worship as the Pope does today, correct? If Peter was the first pope, then he should not have been married, but we know that Peter had a mother-in-law, for Jesus healed her. Friends, make no mistake about it, the headquarters for the Lord's church is in heaven, but the Catholic Church is in Rome, Italy. The Mormon Church, Utah. These are facts. Look them up. The Jehovah's Witnesses, which are not even a church, they don't call themselves a church. They don't call themselves the assembly, the called out ones. They are a kingdom hall. I had a good friend. His name was Darren Peoples when I was a kid, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. And I remember, even to this day, I'm 50 years old, and that had been 35 years ago. He said, "We're not Christians. We're members of the Kingdom Hall. We're not Christians." And I remember coming across him some 10 years later. I obeyed the gospel, began studying, and he claimed to be a Christian, still a member of the Jehovah's Witness Church. I said, "What happened?" I said, "What do you mean? You Christians now?" "Well, yeah, but you weren't Christians when we were kids." Something changed. But in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, it was called Christians First in Antioch. Here, we know when Paul was talking to Agrippa, "Almost thou persuaded me to become a Christian." Peter would say in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, "If any man suffer as a Christian, that noble name," Isaiah 66 and verse number 2, "never changed." And it wasn't given to the Christians, friends, as a means of something derogatory. No, sir, no, ma'am. That was the name that was given to us by God himself, that when the Gentiles would see the righteousness of the Jews, they would be given a new name. That new name, friends, would come from the headquarters from on high. Friends, it makes a difference. Our headquarters are not from New York, not from Utah, not from Italy. Our headquarters are from heaven. We need to keep that in mind, and let us never take that for granted. Number two, why be a member of the Lord's church? Why the church of Christ? Why? Because her ruler is one of righteousness. We have so many today who claim to be rulers of people, but they don't rule in righteousness. Hebrews 1, look at verse number 8. Friends, we want to be able to give answer to the one who asks us for the hope that is within us with the attitude of meekness and reverence, fear. But notice what he says. "But to the Son," he says. Here we have the Father as he is talking to his Son. "But to the Son," he says, "your throne, O God." Unfortunately, some religions don't believe that Jesus is God, that he is a created being. We've talked about that this month. However, when we think about the Son, we're talking about the one that took on flesh, John 1 and verse number 14. But this Son has a throne, just like the Father in heaven has a throne. He says, "But your throne," and notice what God calls the Son, "O God, is forever and ever a scepter." When we consider a scepter, we're talking about the rule, the rulership. A rulership of righteousness is the rulership of your kingdom. The rulership of the Church of Christ is in heaven, and it is a righteous rulership. And so no wonder when we stop and we consider John 7 and verse 24, as I was pondering this, I said to myself, that's a very intricate point there, where Jesus is talking about judging according to righteousness. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Our judgment is from a righteous ruler. There it is right there. Here we understand that Jesus is a righteous ruler. We stop and we consider this. Jacob prophesied this. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 49. And here, as Jacob is talking to his son Joseph, says something very interesting to the 12 sons and their characters and how they would benefit if they benefited from Jacob. But something's interesting about the tribe of Judah in Genesis 49 and verse number 10. Notice what Jacob prophesies concerning the righteousness that would come forth from the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. Put in your notes, Revelation 5 and verse number 5. Nor a lawgiver, put in your notes, Psalm 60 and verse number 7. From beneath his feet until Shiloh or peace comes. Here is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, the Son, who would come from the tribe of Judah, and he would rule in righteousness. And so that caused me to think about something. It caused me to think about how Jesus would rule. But it also caused me to think about, Brother Lane, how he would judge. In Acts 17 and verse number 31, no wonder him being the Prince of Peace, he will judge the world in righteousness. For this reason, we must use the Bible, the Word of God. Why? Because that's how God judges. And so that ought to remind us, and our minds should be pinging right now, John 12, verse number 47 and 48. He that rejected me and receiveth not my word hath one to judge him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. And so when we stop and we consider this, Jesus is a ruler of righteousness, and no wonder he will judge the world in righteousness. No wonder the gospel message is a message of righteousness, Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Friends, our Lord, and denominationalism knows this, that Jesus is a ruler of righteousness, and he rules from righteousness. And this is why everything that Jesus does and everything he judges us by has to be according to truth, because truth and righteousness go hand in hand. And so you think about the gospel message. You think about the good news. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. How do I know about the righteousness of God? I got to go to the gospel. I have to go to the good news, Brother Daniel. And if I don't, if I go to some other source, then I'm already finding myself wanting. I'm already finding myself outside of the bounds of God. And no wonder, again, he's going to judge the world in righteousness. No wonder the good news has righteousness within it. But lastly, no wonder we ought to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6, verse 33. And one thing that I appreciate about what my brother Rob was talking about yesterday, just so many things left there with a renewed spirit, man. I tell you, it was amazing to hear a man who actually gets it. Friends, if we're not seeking the kingdom of God, we need to start. We need to be telling the world and our friends, no matter who they are, our family members, no matter who they are, you need to be seeking righteousness. You need to be seeking the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ. Friends, her ruler is a ruler of righteousness. And so when we stop and we consider that, you can write those things down. I probably should have been giving y'all those, got caught up. Think about that, friends. The ruler of righteousness always rules correctly. And this is why, as leaders in the Lord's church, we must rule according to righteousness. Why? Because we are an extension of the one in whom we are serving underneath the chief shepherd. As gospel teachers and preachers, we are a mouthpiece for the ruler of righteousness. And so at any time that I'm not teaching or preaching the righteousness of God, I, by default, am preaching and teaching an unrighteous message. And so I must teach and preach the righteousness of Almighty God. But now let me challenge y'all. We live in a postmodern world where sometimes we will allow people to say things that we know 100% they are false. And I'm not talking about in religion only. and we'll sit and we won't say anything. And so it caused me to think about what happens if my child who grows up in my house doesn't know why they are a member of the Church of Christ. Have I allowed the seed of deception to enter into their hearts? Have I allowed the seed of lies to enter into their minds? If they have the mentality and the idea that the Church of Christ is one of the denominations of the world, friends, you have to hurry up and get that seed of deception out of their hearts. You have to, because what that will lead to, it will lead to them compromising later on down the road as it relates to the one church, the one Lord, one faith. God has not given us a choice, friends. God has given us the church. He has given us the called out, and he wants us to seek after that church. We don't have a choice, as Satan would give. Friends, the church is the one that we ought to be following. Number three, because she is God's moral culture. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus is talking to those Galilean Jews there. Get this point. And he tells them something very interesting. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are that city that is set up on a hill that cannot be hid. You stop and you consider those things that ought to give us great encouragement. That ought to tell us something. You are the salt of the earth, meaning that you are the influential power that I have working through you. Every last one of us as Christians, as members of the Church of Christ, why are we members of the Lord's church? Because we are supposed to be an influential influence, an influential power. And as salt influences, it actually flavors, it preserves. And so this world, as it lies in wickedness, 1 John 5 and verse number 19, we have been called out of this wickedness, out of that darkness, into the marvelous light of God, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Friends, the Bible is right. We ought to be an influence. And so we ought to be encouraging one another to be that influential power. Why? Because we're children of light. Because we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because we are to cast off the works of darkness. And we're to love the brethren, not walking in darkness. And we're supposed to be that illuminating factor. We, the Lord's people, if God is going to change our society, it's going to start with his people. It's going to start with the church. It's going to start with the called out. Why am I a member of the Church of Christ? Because I am part of God's moral culture in the midst of an immoral world. One of the lessons we'll be teaching on next month is not imparting or involving ourselves in other men's sins. You know how easy it is for us to do that? With all of the immorality on our televisions. And it's not hard to get caught up with it. The next thing you know, you're looking at something and your mind is going to the races. How do you illuminate your mind when it's full of darkness? And so we are to be illuminators. Matthew 5, 14 and 15. Why am I a member of the Lord's church? Because God wants me to be a light. He wants me to shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. I have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. He wants me to be involved. Involving, Matthew 5, verse 16. You consider these ideas. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. 1 Peter 2, we're to be influential. We are to be illuminating. We ought to be involving. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 12. Let's throw in verse number 11. Beloved, I beg you, And when an apostle begs, I believe we need to listen. He said, I beg you as sojourners, meaning that you're moving around. You're not in one place. And pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, those in the world, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, you see that, friends? Glorify God in the day of visitation. Literally on the day of judgment, they'll be able to remember the great influence that they had because of you, even though they may not have obeyed the gospel. And no wonder when we consider Noah's life, his very life condemned the world. He was a preacher of righteousness. He built the ark to the saving of his household. Friends, why are we members of the Church of Christ? Hopefully we know why we're members of the Lord's church. Friends, if anybody ought to be leading the charge, it ought to be us. We ought to be standing up for moral issues. But when you encounter it, when you wrap it in politics, and I challenge you to look up the idea of politics, it's dealing with the policies of the city, the policies of the people, the moral aspects of what governs people. God has given us the policies right here. The Bible, the Word of God, we ought to be leading the charge in and on every moral issue in society. I told Evelyn last night, I said, put it on the things that's going on in Ukraine. I want to see what's going on. I don't want to look at that. I'll be honest, it just bothers me what those people are going through. It bothers me. For whatever reason, it bothers me to see people who are made in the image of God going through what they're going through. How do you sit back and say, well, maybe they just deserve that? They're still made in the image of God. We ought to be leading the charge when it comes to moral issues. We ought to be standing up against that which is not right. Regardless of what it is, we stand up. We lead the charge when it comes to the fear of the Lord. Why do men sin? Psalm 36, verse number 1. You'll see why men sin. We ought to be leading the charge when it comes to the benefits of wholesome speech. I may not keep people from cursing around me, but I can let them know that I don't approve of that type of language. We ought to be leading the charge when it comes to the need of godly attitudes. Friends, why are we members of the Church of Christ? Because we're to be different. We have been called out of darkness, translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Book of Colossians chapter 1, verse number 15, I believe. We ought to be leading the charge when it comes to the power of love and mercy. Friends, we ought to be leading that charge. We ought to be leading that charge. Number 4, and final point. Why are we members of the Church of Christ? Because she properly prepares souls for reality. This is a difficult point for me. Because the Church of Christ is in the business of soul saving, meaning that we are in the business of soul preparing. Preparing for what? Preparing for the hope of eternal life. Preparing for the judgment day where all men are going to stand before Jesus Christ to give an answer to things that they have done in this body, whether it be good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5, 10, and 11. We're going to be preparing people, and we're responsible for preparing people to be moral, to be upright, to be blameless, to be children of God. Again, this point bothers me. Because in Colossians 1 and verse number 28, I want you to turn there before I make a comment. This is such an interesting verse right here. Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks about Jesus Christ. Him, Jesus Christ, we preach, warning every man and teaching every man. Doesn't sound like it is focused on the church only. Again, our good brother Rob said some things yesterday that helped me to focus in more on every man. Everybody we come in contact with, we need to be warning them that there is a great day coming. But it's only a great day coming for those who are faithful to God. There's a day coming that, because of their unfaithfulness, is not great. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, James 3, verses 14 and following, in order that we may present every man whole, complete, perfect, where? In Christ Jesus. Friends, did you hear me? We are to warn every man. We are to be like the watchman, if you will. Appreciate that being said in one of our prayers. But here's the point that really bothers me. In one sense, the Ukrainian president didn't warn his people fast enough. And many people were struggling to get out. Lines and lines of people. And sometimes I wonder, are we warning people fast enough of the pending day that's coming? And Don, make no mistake about it, it's coming. Etho is coming. Evelyn is coming. Because God said he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. It's coming. Unfortunately, there won't be lines and lines of people trying to get out of the city. Because it will be a day that's quick. So here's the question. Is the Lord's people properly preparing souls for reality? And it is a reality, friends, that there is a day coming. The judgment day and the day of the Lord is coming. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, 4 and 6, Paul admonishes the church at Thessalonica about that judgment day, about the coming day of the Lord. Why are we members of the Church of Christ? Because we are telling people about the real day of the Lord. It's coming. So many people are still just walking around as if they're okay. Some of the comments that were made in Ukraine. I'm bringing this up because it's correlating. Oh, Putin's not going to do anything. He's just big talk. And now they're crying. But on that day, Brother Chad, it won't be that. On that day, friends, reality will set in. Whoa, Jesus Christ, he's coming in the cloud. I'm not prepared. Why are we here? As members of the Church of Christ, why am I a member of the Church of Christ? I'm a member to serve God and serve my Lord and properly prepare myself for the day of the Lord and properly prepare those who are outside of Christ for the day of the Lord. And so Peter makes this claim as well in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14, with the emphasis on don't forget in verse number 8. And the emphasis on verse number 14, looking forward to these things. Friends, we ought to be looking forward to these things. The judgment day is not going to catch us off guard. Jesus Christ coming in the cloud is not going to catch us off guard. Why? For the Bible has told us that day is coming. And the child of God, we should never be fearful. I can't remember what that brother said on the radio this morning coming to services, but we ought to be properly prepared, and we should not be afraid of whatever happens and what people may do to us. Why? Because they can't touch the soul. We're so afraid of what people can do to us. Friends, there's a judgment day that we need to be concerned about. And the reality is this, that God will destroy every work of the devil in his own time, Romans 16, verse 20. And we, as the people of God, will be victorious. And we are already victorious. We're already winners. Why are we members of the Church of Christ? Because that's the church that God is going to save. The church that bears his name. Brother Mike, let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that those in denominationalism are not saved? That's exactly what we're saying. And sometimes I wonder how urgent I am in helping people to see that you need to leave denominational teaching and doctrine and practices and come to Christ. How much do we believe the Bible, the Word of God? Friends, we don't have a choice. God has already made choice. And the choice is his called out ones. The church, the kingdom of God. We will be victorious in glory. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. Revelation 22, turn to Revelation 21 as we close. Here, John, he says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. You can go to Revelation 20, 11 through 15 and grab some of the context. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Some, even amongst us brethren, believe that this is talking about the church on earth. This is not talking about the church on earth. And the reason why I know this to be true, because whoever this people are, whoever they are, God will wipe away their tears. Verse number 4, there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Friends, doesn't sound like today. Sound like something that we can look forward to. That's the reality. But look at Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15. Here is the reality. This is why we're warning people. This is why we're teaching our children that you need to be faithful and be a member of the Lord's church. And don't leave the church when you get older and go into denominationalism where there is no salvation. And just as to the Jews, when they would leave Christ and go into under the law of Moses, they would go under a system where there was no salvation. Now, if that was right for the Jews, then it ought to be right for us. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. Notice what's outside of the glory of God. Blessed are those who do his commandments, in order that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Friends, that sounds like reality. But we're seeing some of that even today. Why are we members of the church? To warn people that you don't want to live like that. You don't want to think like that. You don't want to be like that. Why? Because in the grand scheme of things, those are going to be outside of glory. We want to be on the inside. And so, when we stop and we consider, why am I a member of the Church of Christ? So many reasons. We could go on and on and on. But we'll end there. If you're not a child of God, I mean, seriously, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're begging you, let's study. We need to study together. And we need to do it today. We need to start now. We need to make an appointment now. We need to set up a Bible study now. Why? Because the day is the day of salvation. Today. We need to be teaching our children. Today. We need to be a member of the church. You have to be there by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You wouldn't repent of your sins.
Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in the water for the remission of his sins. And live faithful even to the point of death. And God will give you the crown of life. But Brother Mike, I've been baptized. But have you been baptized into the church of Christ? Why? Because that is the church that Jesus died for. That's the church where Jesus put his blood, Acts 20 and verse number 28. Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15. Stop when we consider that. We're not taking in denominational baptisms into the Lord's people. Even though some brethren may be doing that, that's false. They will pay for that. Because they're deceiving the people. They're deceiving the prospect. We want people to come out of darkness. And so why would I tell someone to come out of darkness just to put them back in darkness? No, regeneration, meaning that you came here generated as a child. You degenerated into sin. And then you obeyed the gospel of regeneration, putting you back into fellowship with God. Wow. Maybe you're a child of God and you've forgotten why you are a member of the church of Christ. Or you have a seed in your mind, but it doesn't really matter where we go. We're all God's people. We are all God's creation, but we're not all God's people. Big difference. Do we believe that? I pray that we do. For if we don't, maybe even we will have problems. You need anything, let us help you as we stand, as we sing.